introducing you to this year's Indy 500 Milkman, and volatility continues in the grain markets. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is the Hoosier Ag Today podcast for the 25th of May, 2022. Good morning. I've got the latest Indiana farm news, weather, and market analysis on the way, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. We will meet this year's Indy 500 milkman, the man every driver in the Indy 500 wants to meet. Tim Haynes spoke with our CJ Miller, and we've also got an update on planting progress around the state, and we've got market analysis today with Arlen Suderman. He's with Stone X, and the wild ride continues for the grain markets. It was a turnaround Tuesday, and we've got the latest Indiana farm forecast with Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. The news is next here on HAT.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Every driver in the Indianapolis 500 wants to meet this man, planting progress in Indiana. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team. We teach our kids there's no shame in asking for help when they need it. Shouldn't we do the same for each other? Visit extension.purdue.edu/farmstress. We are days away now from the Indianapolis 500. CJ Miller is at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with the American Dairy Association Indiana to introduce you to this year's Indy 500 Milkman.
Thank you, Eric. It is the 106th running of the Indianapolis 500, and whomever that winner is at the end of the race, that individual will be handed a bottle of ice-cold milk, and the person handing that winner the bottle of milk will be the 2022 Milkman, Tim Haynes. He's from Garrett, Indiana in DeKalb County, and he owns Superior Dairy with his family. It's a fifth-generation farm. And Tim, you have to be excited to be a part of the 106th running of the Indianapolis 500.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, the fact to be thinking that we're representing 750 farm families in Indiana and then more all over the country, it's humbling. And the closer we get to the race, the more it kind of keeps settling in, and it's going to be a hectic day that day, especially with the crowd back to full capacity.
And what great publicity, Tim, not just for Superior Dairy, but this is a big boost for the dairy industry.
Yeah, and you know, one of the big pushes right now, you know, with consumers is sustainability. Dairy farmers have been sustainable for a long time with the things that we did. You know, the fact that we use our manure to fertilize our fields, and then we harvest that crop and we feed it to the animals, it comes full circle. Our new barn, we recycle water. We have automatic curtains that open and close so fans don't have to run. So all these things we're doing to help protect the environment and pass it on to the next generation.
Chatting with Tim Haynes, he's the 2022 Milkman for the 106th running of the Indianapolis 500. When you're standing there at the end of that race, is there one particular driver that you would be most excited to hand that glass bottle of milk to?
Well, I hate to say anything because I'm afraid I'll jinx somebody. By the time I tell them, they'll be the first one out of the race. But our big thing is we hope everybody a safe race and just look forward to whoever the winner is enjoying that drink of milk.
Once again, Tim Haynes from Garrett, Indiana, DeKalb County, Superior Farms, a fifth-generation farm. And Tim, the 2022 Milkman for the 106th running of the Indianapolis 500. And Tim, thank you so much for joining us here on Hoosier Ag Today.
Yep, and just remember, winners drink milk.
Again this year, every driver in the Indianapolis 500 is racing to make the acquaintance of two Indiana dairy farmers, and they know exactly where to find them. Victory Circle at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Because those dairy farmers will be continuing one of the sports world's most beloved traditions, the Indianapolis 500 Victory Circle Bottle of Milk. The legendary Louis Meyer, Indy's first three-time winner, launched the tradition in the 1930s when he asked for a glass of buttermilk to quench his thirst after a grueling 500 miles. Nine decades, thousands of miles, and gallons of ice-cold milk later, the iconic celebration endures.
So grab your own glass of ice-cold goodness and share the same great taste that's savored by Indianapolis 500 champions in May and every day. Winners drink milk.
American Dairy Association Indiana, your Hoosier Dairy Farm families.
Learn more at winnersdrinkmilk.com. That's winnersdrinkmilk.com.
Indiana farmers are catching up on planting progress with 64% of the corn crop in and 50% of soybeans. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Planting a seed is an act of faith. And even if it makes it to maturity, Mother Nature and markets determine the value, right? Not when you've got your corn and soybean checkoffs. The checkoff is like a little seed coat of protection. It's like planting a penny to grow a dollar. In fact, with investments in research, new uses, and demand creation, we've seen a $12 return to the farm for every soybean checkoff dollar invested. Check out your Indiana checkoffs at yourcheckoff.org.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We're embarking on a wet set of days here. Starting today, we see rain moving across the Hoosier State. There'll be probably 2 to 3 waves over the course of the next 2 to 3 days. Looks like the biggest threat for thunderstorm activity likely comes as we move through tomorrow, Thursday, and then we have wraparound lingering moisture through Friday. Could spawn a few more thunderstorms up near Lake Michigan and into southwest Michigan. But overall, I'm leaving my rain totals alone, 0.5 to 2 inches across the Hoosier State. Most of us are probably going to be in that 1 to 1.5 inch range. Unfortunately, I was keeping fingers crossed, and I still am, for less than that, low end of the range in most of the state. But I just don't think it happens. A large part of us are going to see an inch easy over the next 3 days. Now, I do have some good news, and that good news is that once we go dry Saturday, Memorial Day weekend, it's going to be dry and it's going to be quite warm, well above normal temperatures. I'm talking about upper 80s and low to mid 90s for Sunday and Monday. And then we continue that after the holiday weekend for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, above normal temperatures with good drying. We do have to deal with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms overnight next Thursday night into Friday. Looking right now at anywhere from 0.1 to maybe 0.6 of an inch of moisture, coverage around 60 to 70% of the state. And then we go dry again behind that for Friday afternoon, the 3rd, right on through that first weekend of June. So there's good news in that we have a large dry window from this weekend through a large chunk of next week. Problem is, what we can do with that window really comes down to how much moisture that we get the next 3 days. And that's why I'm continuing to keep my fingers crossed for lower end of the range totals. I think the deck is stacked against me, though, this time around. That's the way we're stacking up here this morning. Have a great rest of your day. Keep your umbrella handy. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we know that a little extra can do a whole lot for our customers. That's why we're returning $63 million in patronage straight back to our eligible customers in Indiana this year. Does your lender do that? To learn more about our patronage program and eligibility, visit e-farmcredit.com/patronage. Patronage is a decision the Board of Directors considers and makes every year. It is not a guaranteed payment, but rather a return of our earnings paid to patronage-eligible customers of Farm Credit Mid-America according to Board resolution.
Corn and soybean planting progress put pressure on the grain markets Tuesday. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today's Tuesday Farm Market Review. USDA's weekly crop progress report released on Monday did show impressive gains for corn and soybean planting on a national level, certainly better than expected. 72% of corn is in the ground, a 23% increase from the previous week. 50% of U.S. beans are in the ground, just 5 points behind the 5-year pace. Let's welcome in Arlen Suderman now from StoneX, StoneX.com. He's their chief commodities economist. On Monday, Arlen, we saw losses for soybeans, gains for corn and wheat. On Tuesday, we're seeing a bit of the inverse. I'm guessing the Monday crop progress report had a little bit to do with that, especially with corn.
Yeah, it did. I think it's a misinterpretation, really, of the information. We've said all along we expected virtually all the corn in central and eastern areas to get planted. Now, granted, it happened a little bit faster, or it is happening a little bit faster than what I anticipated. It was an impressive week with 23% progress last week, considering the showers that are around many areas of the Midwest. But that still doesn't solve the problem in Minnesota and the Dakotas, an area that we normally wouldn't pay a lot of attention to, but supplies are so tight this year that every acre counts. So that's still going to be a challenge, but that's apparently something for the market to focus on another day. The other factors impacting it was obviously the reports from Reuters that the White House is considering waivers on the blending requirements for all gasoline blends and fears that that could reduce demand for ethanol. And then Brazil signing a phytosanitary agreement with China, allowing it to now start selling corn to China as well. That really doesn't matter a whole lot in the near term because world supplies of corn are tight. So if China buys Brazil corn, that means Brazil's customers have to come here for corn with Ukraine being out of the picture. But nonetheless, it was another negative factor affecting the markets.
Arlen, with this whole ethanol thing, it seems just like, you know, the famous Paula Abdul song, one step forward, two steps back. We get news about E15 all summer that supports the market, but then we get this potential news about waivers. It's got to be hard for the market to read all of this.
Yeah, it really does. You consider that RBOB gasoline futures are trading about a little over a dollar higher than ethanol is trading. So it only makes sense from an economic standpoint that ethanol cheapens up the gasoline, not only because it's cheaper, you're blending a cheaper product into the gasoline, but also because it extends the supply of gasoline. But yet somehow in the Washington speak, having ethanol in gasoline somehow raises the cost of gasoline. And so that seems to be the fear that the White House is going to back off, and kind of a mixed message, allowing E15, but then backing off of blending. And so it's a lot of uncertainty right now throughout the biofuel industry, and especially for ethanol.
Arlen, I'm going to ask you about wheat here in a moment because it's just been up and down here recently. But let's first talk soybeans again. Losses yesterday, seeing maybe a little bit of strength today, at least in the front month contracts. What are we seeing there in the soybean market?
Soybeans have overall seen more strength lately, and that's because of the export demand that goes to China increasing. And not just China, non-China as well. As Brazilian supplies start to tighten up after they had a smaller crop this year due to the big drought in South America. Now, they're still going to be exporting through the summer, but their basis levels have firmed up, and U.S. soybeans are very competitive for the summer period, especially into July and August. Lo and behold, China it still needs a lot of coverage. It only has roughly about 40% of its coverage needs for July and August. So there's some expectation that we're going to see some additional sales of soybeans for shipment to China this summer, further tightening our supplies here ahead of the 2022 harvest period. And that's supporting the old crop prices today.
Arlen, what about wheat? It's just been jumping back and forth. We get news from India. We get news from Ukraine. We've got news happening right here in the U.S. with this wheat crop and finding some lower yield potential. What is the biggest factor impacting that market?
World supplies are still tight, but we have a market trying to figure out how to deal with that. U.S. exports have been very, very small because we've basically priced ourselves out of the market. Well, depending on how big our winter wheat crop is, that may be good. Maybe we don't have wheat to export, but we really don't know that till we harvest it. So the market's trying to figure that out. It took Chicago wheat futures to record high price levels. It took Kansas City wheat prices to just pennies below record high prices. Traders got very nervous at that point, started taking profits, started liquidating positions. We still have a tight situation. We still have poor crop ratings with 40% of the winter wheat crop in poor to very poor condition. The hard red winter wheat condition index score is the lowest on records. We're having a big problem trying to get the crop, the spring wheat crop planted in Minnesota and in the Dakotas, just 11% planted in Minnesota. And that's where 80% of the spring wheat crop is planted in those two states. But yet wheat struggles to sustain a rally. And I think it's a factor of allowing the facts to catch up to the report, so to speak, getting into harvest, getting some more hard facts, finding out exactly how this tight world wheat situation is going to affect demand for U.S. wheat, and then the market will trade it in due time.
Arlen, last one here for livestock. Let's talk cattle. Let's talk hogs. I know China, we've been having some shutdowns due to COVID, then loosening it up. We've seen some of that impact some of the livestock prices. Is that happening now, or are we past that and are we trading other things here?
Well, it's kind of impressive to see green on the screen for the cattle market on a day when the stock market was selling off and many of the commodities were selling off as well. It started really with feeder cattle. We saw a bump in feeder cattle demand with the cheaper feed prices, and that provided some support for the fat cattle. You mentioned a lot of the dynamics with the economy struggling. We're seeing sluggish meat demand. And the cold storage report that came out yesterday showed a build of pork and beef supplies. And so from that standpoint, that would seem fundamentally bearish. But the CFTC report on Friday confirmed that the funds have really liquidated their positions. They've already sold off, perhaps already priced those factors in. So we were able to see a bounce in the cattle market. Hogs still under pressure. We're not able to do it. Went the way the rest of the markets. Cattle was kind of the outlier today.
Final numbers now from Tuesday trade. July corn off 14.5 down to 7.71¾. Dece down 13¾ to 7.25¼. Soybeans finished mixed. July up 6, 16.93. Soybeans down 1¼ to 15.17½. July wheat down 35¼, 11.54¾. In livestock, August live cattle down 22 cents, 132.75. July lean hogs down $1.80 to 109.05. That's the Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm radio network.